about Taylor Swift. I just put this in there for those who are younger than me. Okay, Taylor Swift sings about what happens when you fall in love and how all I know since yesterday is everything has changed. John Mayer keeps waiting on the world to change, and Sam Cooke thinks about how it's been a long time coming, but I know a change is going to come. And don't forget about Bob Dylan, right? The line is drawn, the curse is cast, the slow one now will later be fast, as the present now will later be past. The order is rapidly fading, and the first one now will later be last, for the times they are changing. Change is all around us, and it's inevitable, and it's going to happen. We can't stop it. So we have to learn how to deal with it, right? We have to learn how to deal with change. That's what I want to talk about today. Popular music sings about it. Of course, the Bible speaks to it as well. Maybe in the most famous passage about change in the Bible is that passage in Ecclesiastes where Solomon is contemplating, thinking about life and the world, and he says there is a time and a season for everything. And one day, God promises that he is going to change it all. He's going to remake everything. He's going to take the whole world and he's going to make it brand new, okay? And all the stuff that maybe we don't like about the world right now, that's all going to be different. It's all going to be made new, Bible says, and I'm looking forward to that day. So change is inevitable. We know that. We also know that a lot of times experiencing change is like riding a roller coaster. Any roller coaster riders here? I know Darien Lake opened up recently. Have you been out yet? Have you gotten on the Superman? Right? I did that once. Once is enough. The ups and downs. I'm one of those that chump change is good, but I like things. I don't need so many ups and downs. But life can be a lot of ups and downs. It can be like riding in a roller coaster and on an elevator. I was thinking about pogo sticks for whatever, I guess because they go up and down. And I actually tried to ride a pogo stick. Do you call it riding? I tried to jump I just tried to stay upright on a pogo stick once, and it was hard. You're bouncing, and I'm bouncing around, and I'm flopping this way and that way, and I'm just trying not to crash. And I thought of that as a metaphor for life and change, how sometimes we're just bouncing around, and we're just trying to stay upright. We're just trying to deal with it. We're just trying to get, safely from here to the next place. Life's changes can be like that. We go up, we come down, we're on cloud nine, we're in the pits, we feel invincible, then we feel lost, and there's nothing new about that experience either. Let's do this. We're going to play a little game this morning, okay? You online, welcome to play along as well. The game is Who Am I? So as I read these descriptions, I want you to think of who is this person? Early in life, I was taken away from my parents and raised in a kind of foster home. Life was good there until I went through an identity crisis and made some serious blunders. For a while after that, I was alone and lost, but then I fell in love with someone and life settled down until I had a unique and unexpected encounter with God, which sent me on a whole new path, which was at times very routine and unchanging, and at other times exciting, terrifying, and awe-inspiring. Who do you think that is? Moses, that's right, good. I was hoping it wouldn't be, it would be kind of obvious, but good. Here's another one. I was living a pretty comfortable life. I had a steady job. I loved making music and writing songs, and my work gave me a lot of time alone to do that. Being the youngest in my family usually meant I was overlooked, but at least one man saw the potential in me, and eventually that led to me getting a very high position of responsibility. That didn't happen all at once, though. It only came after I had to face down some extremely large challenges, including a couple of men who wanted to see me dead. I had a lot of successes in life and some huge failures, especially some involving my family. But throughout it all, I kept coming back to my relationship with God, who was always there for me. Who's that? David is the guy I had in mind, okay? Third one, last one. I was orphaned as a child and raised by a relative, a good person who took good care of me. My life was fairly uneventful until I grew up to be a young woman. At that time, I got noticed for my attractiveness, and I was placed in a program where I was pampered and made more attractive with special kinds of beauty treatments. All of this was preparation for marriage, which, when it happened, was to someone of very high position. At that point, my life was thrown into more turmoil due to some political chaos orchestrated by a truly evil man. Because of my position, my former guardian insisted I do something about the turmoil, which I was reluctant to do out of fear. But standing firm, I did what I had to do, and in the end, I can say that God brought it all to a very good place. Esther, right. Now, what do they all have in common, along with people like Joseph and Job and Elisha and Peter and Paul and Ruth and many of us. What do they have in common? Their life was not just a steady ride, right? It wasn't just a going from A to Z along a nice even path. Their life was full of ups and downs and great moments and horrible moments and deep challenges and mountaintop experiences. That was their life, and that's life for a lot of us, isn't it? Right? I mean, very few of us just get through life on this very even keel. So we've got to learn, how do we deal with those ups and downs and challenges of that? As Frank said, that's life, is experiencing those. So the message today is on navigating highs and lows. And here, let me tell you, the answer is not what some people do to get so sheltered, right, to cut ourselves off from people and try to orchestrate our life so that we put everything in a neat little place and we don't allow things to happen. You know, like C.S. Lewis said, if you don't want to hurt, don't love anybody. Because if you love somebody, you're going to hurt sometimes, right? So some people cut themselves off from relationships, and they cut themselves off from their feelings, right? They become kind of stoic in their attitudes. Or, I'm not going to let anything bother me. I'm just going to sail along and not let anything get to me. That's not the answer that the Bible gives for how to deal with life's ups and downs and for navigating that. There is another way, and there's my main point today. The way is to cultivate contentment to successfully handle life's highs and lows. Cultivate a contentment that carries us through regardless of where we are, regardless of what's coming into our life or what's happening in our life, to find a place of contentment inside. In Philippians 4, Paul wrote about this. He said, I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you renewed your concern for me. Paul is writing to the Philippian church, and that's who he means by you, renewed your concern for me. He said, indeed, you were concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. I'm not saying this because I'm in need, for I have learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. We would do really well to memorize that verse. I have learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. We'll come back to that. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all this through him who gives me strength. Now, Paul certainly knew about life's highs and lows. He experienced plenty of them. Paul, you remember, was on a fast track to a high position in the religious world when he got temporarily blinded and set on a new course by Jesus. After that, he had his share of mountaintop celebrations and his share of nights in the deepest valley. Some days were awesome, and others were just barely survivable. He had visions of heaven, and he knew what it was like to spend days and nights alone in jail. In fact, he was in jail and completely dependent upon others and what they could provide him when he wrote that passage about being content. Now listen, one thing we need to be clear about with this passage, especially the last verse of that, I can do everything through Christ who strengthens me, or I can do all this is the version here. I can do all this through Christ who gives me strength. Some people take that to mean, well, that means I can accomplish anything I want to. Anything I set my mind, I can accomplish it because Jesus is with me. And that's not exactly what that means. I don't care how hard I study, I am not going to become an electrical engineer. I know that about me. I don't have that gift. I don't have that kind of a mind. That's not going to happen, okay? I don't care how high I try to jump, I'm not going to dunk a basketball. Never did, never could, really wanted to. Ain't going to happen, okay? I'm not going to throw a football like Josh Allen. I mean, there are things that we just are not going to be able to do, even though we have a very good and close connection and relationship with Jesus Christ. Some people twist that verse to take it to mean that, right? I can do anything, right? I can anything I set my mind to because Jesus, it's not what it means. What Paul is saying, I can do all this. I can be content when things are going really well, and I can be content when things are not going well at all. I can be content in all of these situations. How? Why, you ask? Because I have Jesus with me. So no matter where I am, in the highs and the lows, in here, in my heart, in my soul, I'm okay. I'm all right because I'm with Jesus and Jesus is with me. That's Paul's point. That's what he's trying to get us to understand, is that it's all about Jesus. You know, there's a number of ways we can go wrong handling highs and lows. I just want to share two with you. First, we can go wrong by thinking that where I am is where I'll always be. So I've worked hard and I've reached this pinnacle in my career or whatever, you know, and I got the house I wanted and I got the family I wanted and everything is great. And I can start to delude myself into thinking, you know, it's going to be like this now forever, you know, until the end of my life. It's just going to be great. It's going to be wonderful. Going to be celebrating all the time. Everything's going to be terrific, right? That's a mistake because we don't know what's coming. Right? We don't know. That might, you know, that job that I got that I've worked so hard to get, the business might close next year, and then where am I? Right? That family I'm enjoying so much, right? An accident may happen. And then what? Right? Things happen in our life, and we're right on the high, and if we believe, if we make ourselves think that it's always going to be like this, that we've got it nailed, we figured life's secret out, and we've got it, that's a mistake. We can do it the other way, too. I'm alone. I don't have a relationship. I'm always going to be alone. I can't find a job. I never will find a job. I'm not feeling well today. I'll probably never feel well again. We can do it that way too. That's a mistake because we don't know, right? You might be alone today, go to the grocery store this afternoon and find the person you're going to marry. You don't know, right? And if you're single, I hope that happens to you today. But listen, we don't know, right? Today you're not feeling well, maybe you're struggling with an illness, and next week your doctor says, hey, the test results came back, and guess what? They are great. Happened. Somebody sent me an email this week. We had prayed because they had a doctor's appointment coming up, and they were concerned. We prayed. They went to the appointment. She sent me an email afterwards. She said, the doctor thinks, he said, this is the best results I've had in this particular area of my life. Yeah, praise the Lord. We don't know, right? And when we think we know what's going to happen and we nail it down that way, we are making a mistake. James, the brother of Jesus, warns us against thinking we know all there is to know about what's coming in life. In chapter 4, verse 13, he says, now listen, you who say today or tomorrow we'll go to this or that city, spend a year there, carry on business and make money, you don't even know what'll happen tomorrow. Emphasis on tomorrow. See, this? He's saying, you got this plan for the next year? Ha! 365 days, you think you know what's going to happen? You don't know what's going to happen when you wake up tomorrow. So slow down, right? Slow your roll. Is that appropriate? I'm not really good with modern. What? Slow your roll. Slow down, right? Don't think you've got it all worked out because you can make your plans, and there's nothing wrong with that. I got plans. I got plans for today, for tomorrow, for the next week. But those could be completely disrupted by God's plans for me or by life circumstances that then I need to adjust to, right? With the help of God. And this is what James is saying. You don't know what's going to happen. Whether you're in a great place, you don't know if you're going to stay there for it. You don't know if you're in a low place, how long you're going to be in that low place. So slow down. Second mistake we make in handling life's highs and lows is thinking that our contentment is completely dependent upon our circumstances. Some of us live our lives that way. I remember when we were our kids were young, we used to like to go to, we only went a few times, but we really enjoyed going to Ocean City, Maryland, and getting boogie boards, you know, and going out and riding waves. You ever do that? It's a lot of fun, right? It's a lot of fun. And it is fun, unless you come off that wave, and then you're tumbling in the water, right, and you're swirling around, and you're just trying to find the air again, and that's not so much fun. Some of us, we ride life like that emotionally, with our attitudes. When things are great, we're on top of the wave, hey, nothing could be better. God is wonderful. You know, isn't God great? He has so blessed us. It's terrific. God is so good. And life is beautiful, and every day is sunny, even if it's raining outside. I don't care. It's a sunny day. It's wonderful. And me, I could accomplish anything. I can do whatever I want, right? Because we're up on the wave. But then the wave crashes, and now we're swirling around the water. And for some of us, that's exactly where our attitudes go as well. Now, God has forgotten about me. God don't care what happens to me. God isn't even listening to my prayers anymore. I can't do anything right. I'm always messing things up. Nothing's going to work out for me. Life stinks. I can't believe it. You know, people are smiling. What have they got to be smiling about? Right? And some of us, that's where we go, right? We just go attitudinally. We go with our emotions up and down based on circumstances. And Paul is saying in this passage, you know, it doesn't matter to me what my circumstances are. That's not what determines my attitude, right? I'm content whether I have a lot or nothing at all. I'm happy if I've got plenty of food to eat and some left over, or I haven't had any food for 2 days. I'm okay. I'm all right. In my heart, I'm at peace. I know what it is. In verse 12, he says, I know what it is to be in need. I know what it is to have plenty. I've learned the secret of being content in any and every situation. So, whether I'm in a great place or a terrible place, Paul says, I'm at heart content and at peace. In the best of times, I rejoice. In the worst of times, I endure. But at all times, I trust in the Lord who's with me. And this is the secret. This is it. This is the secret. Paul says this is the secret he had learned, which was that he needed to face the highs and lows with Jesus. Oh, Pastor Vern, is that all you got for us today? Yeah, that's it. But let me ask you, are you living it? Right? I mean, you know it here, but have you moved it to here? Right? Are you living your life with Jesus in such a way that it's bringing you contentment and peace regardless of your circumstances? I'm not saying you don't get thrown off from time to time. I'm not saying, you know, you have to, you know, get that pogo stick upright again every now and then. But are you living your life in such a way that you know, like Paul knew, whatever happens to me, it's okay because Jesus is with me and I'm with Jesus, right? That's the secret. That's the secret to that contentment. There's three things I want to say about facing life and the highs and lows with Jesus. The first is this. Having Jesus with us means we will rejoice in the high times and remember to thank God for them. So go ahead and rejoice when things are good, right? Like I said, we're not meant to be stoics. We can rejoice, we can laugh, we can express our joy and our happiness when things are good, and we should, right? I asked Deb, she never heard this, but I know somewhere in my life when I was young, I heard this phrase, if you laugh at breakfast, you're gonna cry before supper. Anybody ever hear that? It's really something, okay? I mean, trust me, it's a line. But anyway, don't listen to those people, okay? Somebody tells you that, don't listen to it, right? You might laugh at breakfast, laugh at supper, and be laughing in the morning when you get up after your rest, right, after your sleep. You know, rejoice in the good times. But remember to thank God for them. Remember to thank God. Every good and perfect gift, James says in chapter 1, verse 17, every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father. The second thing about having Jesus with us is we can respond in the low times with the help that Jesus provides. You know, sometimes we get down, we get into those pits because of life circumstances. Things happen that take us there. That's not unusual, right? And they're not things that we'd had any doing in. They just happen to us, and we get down there, and we need to respond to that. And I would say to you, when that happens, resist the temptation to go to hopelessness. When things hit you hard, there's a temptation to go to hopelessness. Don't do that. Resist that. But, you know, sometimes we're down in the pits because of things we do need to do something about. So, for example, we may need to remove certain things from our heads, okay, right? Like old tapes of your own. Oh, I'm a failure, you know, I can't do anything right. I'm never going to make anything out of my life. I'm never going to do anything good. You know, I don't even know why people care about me. Nobody would want to be around me. I don't even like being with myself, right? That's an old thing. You're in Christ. The Bible says you're a new creation. That tape's got to go. You got to remove that. You got to just get that out of there, okay? Maybe it's an old tape that somebody else has planted in your head. Maybe they're the ones who were telling you, you're never going to amount to anything. You're a screw up. You've always messed things up. You're going to continue. You know, don't listen to that. That's an old tape. And in Christ, that does not belong. That is not God's message to you at all. So you need to remove that. Sometimes we need to remove people from our lives. And we do this very carefully, and I want to be careful in saying this, because we don't easily abandon relationships. But sometimes there are people in our lives who are not helping us to be godly people. And we need to distance ourselves from them, either physically or at least relationally, in the sense of allowing them to have influence on us. So we may need to remove individuals from our life. We may need to remove obstacles that we placed in our own way, like financial debt, right? Maybe it's that gets you down. You look at the bills that you have, and every month and they come in, you know, it just makes you sink. But you put yourself in a position where you have a lot of debt, and maybe it's time to attack that and do something about it. right? Remove that so it doesn't have that ability to take us down. So sometimes we resist temptation to hopelessness. Sometimes we have to remove some things from our life. And then the third thing we may have to do is repent of our sin. We're not, you know, if we want to even our life out to some extent, we got to repent of the sin that can take us down. All right? Some of us are hanging on to sinful attitudes, sinful behaviors that we know God has been telling us to change, to do something about, and we have not repented of them. We have not made the decision to ask God to forgive us for those things and ask God to help us to be free of those things. And they just keep taking us down. So sometimes we have to resist, sometimes we have to remove, and sometimes we have to repent. But we do all of that with the help of the Lord. And Hebrews 13:6 says, "We say with confidence, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid." If there are things we need to remove or things we need to repent of, we can be sure that God will help us if we will ask him. The third thing that having Jesus with us means is this: we can rest on our knowledge of God's unchanging nature. I'm not going to say too much about this because Pastor John's going to speak to this next week. So I'll just mention three things about God that do not change that we can rest on. The first is this: God's word doesn't change. Psalm 119:89 says, "Your word, Lord, is eternal. It stands firm in the heavens." When you read your Bible, you're reading God's word that is unchanging. It was true when he had the original authors write it. It's true today, and it will be true forever. And one of the things that means is that the promises in the Bible, and I hope when you read your Bible that you are reading, you're looking for God's promises, okay? Because you need to hold on to those promises because they are true, and they will not change. The second thing that doesn't change about God is his love. God's love doesn't change. Jeremiah 31:3, "The Lord appeared to us in the past saying, I have loved you with an everlasting love." You know when God started to love you? When he decided you would be conceived. That's when he started to love you. From the moment of conception, all the way through that pregnancy to your birth and right up to today, God has loved you throughout that time. And he will continue to love you. Whether you respond in love to him or not, he is going to love you. His love for you is everlasting, and he will not take it away from you. The third thing that doesn't change is God's Son doesn't change. Hebrews 13:8, "Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever." You know what that means? It means that what Jesus has done for you, he will not take back. When Jesus died on the cross to save you from your sins, he is not going to take that back. Whether you accept what he did for you or not is on you, but he is not going to take back the offer. He has paid for your sins. He has put himself out there for you, for me, and that stands. We can count on it. All we need to do, what he asks us to do, is to receive it. To receive it. You know, the greatest change that can take place in someone's life, and I believe this with all my heart, is the change that begins when you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You know, we work hard, and I did this before I gave Christ my life. You know, I'll study more, and I'll work hard, and I'll try to change this thing and that thing and be a better person or whatever, you know. And I made some progress here and there. But it wasn't until I surrendered, until I gave myself to Jesus, says, "All right, I give up. You take my life. I give it to you. I'm going to start listening to you, and I'm going to start obeying you." That's when things really began to change in me. It's the greatest change that can take place in us is when we give our lives to Christ. The best way to deal with the highs and lows of life is to know that you're dealing with them with Jesus, that he is with you. You have his strength. You have his promises. You have his assurance that he is going to carry you through this life to a better life. If you want to do life with more contentedness and handle whatever life throws at you, then my word to you, God's word to us, is Do it with Jesus. Do it with Jesus. I'd like us to bow our heads for a moment in prayer, because perhaps there's somebody listening or somebody here who's never given their life to Christ. And if that's you, and this is your day, I'd just like to help walk you through a prayer where that can happen. Let's pray. Lord, I acknowledge that you are a holy and good God. And I admit that I am not. I'm a person who has struggled with sinful things. I'm not holy. I haven't been good. I've failed even my own, to live up to even my own standards in life, let alone yours. And Lord, I need your forgiveness, and I want a new life. And I believe that Jesus paid for my sins on that cross, and I believe that he offers me new life today. And Lord, I want to put my faith in your hands, and so I do. I put my faith in Jesus Christ as my Lord and my Savior. And I ask you to forgive me, to be merciful to me, to give me your Holy Spirit, and to help me to live in obedience to you. And I thank you, Lord, for doing that. And I praise you for your love and your faithfulness to me. In Jesus' name, amen. If either here or online, if you prayed that prayer today, I would love to have you just email me or one of the pastors here and let us know, so that we can be in prayer for you and walk alongside you in this life. Life can be tough. Life can be hard. But there is a peace. There is a contentment that we can have if we are doing life with Jesus. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. Here's the takeaway. We can learn to do all things, handle success or failure, sunny days or rainy days, high times or low times, by doing them with Jesus. Keep that in mind this week. Think about that. Go in the love of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Amen.